Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Allegedly. This is Matthew Cole Weiss with...
And I'm Theo Vaughn.
And Happy New Year.
Yeah.
This is our first episode of the new year, other than our best of, which was amazing, by the way.
Yeah, the best of episode was awesome.
And I was cracking up.
We're back, yeah?
I was cracking up at the gym listening to like David Faustino's story about the Clit Licking Beatles, one of my favorite things of all time.
Unbelievable.
It was great.
And I went and spent, I hung out with him not long ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I went and did his podcast. And it was just interesting to be around him, you know? Interesting guy.
How are you ready for this new year?
Yeah, I think I'm ready, man. I think I'm ready. I had a great New Year's Eve. I did a show with Amy Schumer down in New Orleans.
Oh.
So we had a blast.
Didn't she like poop your pants or something?
I pooped my pants.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Yeah, it was, I had that too. I actually had to pull over outside of a women's correctional facility and change my underpants.
What?
Yeah, in the rain, dude. Thank God for the rain. I mean, the one time you want it is when you need it.
At a woman's correctional facility?
Yes, I parked. They had this little space off the driveway there, and I parked. And then this, security officer came by, rolled down his window, pouring rain, and he goes, what seems to be the problem, ma'am? That's what he said to me. Okay.
Well, he's just very observant.
Okay, right. I know I can be a bit of a puss, but, and I literally just looked him straight in the eyes, dude, like a freaking certain, like just like an owl with a good point of view. And I was like, I shit myself.
Oh, wow.
And he rolled his window up and left. Zero help.
Wow. So,
yeah.
Interesting.
So that's how my New Year started off, man.
My New Year's, I was in Cabo and somehow got us invited to this party that me and my family and everybody that had, I got to meet A-Rod.
You did?
I did.
Oh, yeah, I saw that picture.
Yeah, me and A-Rod.
Yeah.
He was nice. Larry David was there, which was so cool. And so my brother's girlfriend is a very free spirit, so to speak. And she saw Larry David, and she might have been drinking too. She darted over to him.
Oh.
He was holding food, and she goes, "Can I give you a hug?" And he goes, "I'm holding food." And she goes, "I don't care." And she literally just wrapped her arms around him in that way that was like, he's like, I don't know what to do right now.
Yeah.
It was a little awkward and uncomfortable, but there was Leo DiCaprio was there with his hot girlfriend.
Really?
Who was a bitch, by the way. Yeah. She was literally, I saw her go up to this young kid kind of and said, "Stop watching him." And I was like, get over yourself a little bit.
Wow.
First off, he can speak for himself. And second of all, she's a Victoria's Secret model. She's
second of all, dude, in 5 years, she's not going to be a Victoria's Secret model.
Boom.
And third of all, in 2 weeks, she's not going to be his girlfriend.
Good point.
So
yeah, I rang it in. Sammy Hagar was there.
God.
It was really cool. Ray Romano and Tim Allen and...
Jesus, where were you?
In Cabo, man, where the stars were.
That's where the stars go,
That's where the stars were.
Stassi Schroeder was down there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, she was.
Did you see her?
I did not. She texted me, and then I never heard back from her after I texted back. But
yeah, we texted in New Orleans. She was out of New Orleans, and we texted a little bit.
But
she didn't meet up with me, though.
So this is a new year.
Yeah.
And let's talk about resolutions real quick before we get to our awesome, awesome guest, Margaret Cho.
Yeah, Margaret Cho.
Give me your resolution, pal.
My New Year's resolution is to do better at comedy, man. Yeah.
And but you're so good.
I'm doing great, but I think I could do even better. And speaking of that, I have some great shows coming up. I'm just going to let our guests know about. I will be at the Virginia Beach Funny Bone.
Is that in Virginia?
Yeah, it is in Virginia, actually.
I just wild guess.
Beach in the winter. That's me. January 25th through 28th. And then I'll be in Schaumburg, Illinois, February 2nd through the 4th.
And you can catch me at the Olive Garden most Friday nights.
Endless...
breadsticks and salads.
Endless breadsticks and salads.
That's the way.
What was your resolution?
My resolution is to write more and to start the, really get the process of baby going.
Wow.
This year it's gonna be kicked into full gear.
So you think by the end of the year you could have a baby?
It's possible, but from what I'm told, it's gonna take a long time because I'm being very specific. I want a boy from the U.S.
What? You want Bing Crosby, it sounds like, dude. What kind of baby are you going to get, dude? All the gay dudes get like a Filipino boy or like a little Viet.
I know, like a little accessory.
Get a ginger, dude. I heard the ginger cheap.
They're just giving them away?
Not giving them away, but really cheap, dude. You can get a ginger out of Detroit for probably less than you're paying probably for health insurance, I bet.
And by the way, just so you know, I have no problems with other ethnicities, and I will go to other countries and stuff too. But I'm
just
starting.
You don't have to defend yourself. You're not going to other countries. I don't see you busing down to freaking Nicaragua. you know, to rescue one of my kinfolk.
His name is Finn, and I don't think Finn's going to work with a little Nicaraguan boy.
He's named after Gil or Finn. Those are fish names, and no way, dude.
All right.
If you have an idea of what we should name Matt's baby, why don't you guys chime in a little bit, and where should we get the baby, dude?
I like the name Cedar, like the wood.
Ooh.
And my mom thought that was gay.
Damn, gay. You are gay, dude. And your mom double gayed you, bro?
All right, so
wow.
Stay tuned and let us know what you think for my baby's name. And now let's get to our guest.
Yeah, she's beautiful and she's super funny. She's gay and straight.
Yes.
And she's everything. And I saw her last night at the Comedy Store, and I'm so happy she's here.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll get back to you with Margaret Cho after this.
Are you in between jobs and looking to earn some extra money, Matt?
Always.
Oh, wow. Are you looking to put away more money into your kid's college fund?
Oh, I'm going to have a kid.
Oh, gosh. Are you going back to school yourself to get another degree?
No.
Okay. But look, if you are planning on doing any of those things, which it sounds like you are, I got a way you can make some extra loot.
How?
Drive for Lyft, bro. It's the ride-sharing app that lets you be your own boss, you know? Because you don't like taking orders from anybody, do you?
Depends on the situation.
You do not. You can pick your own hours. You can earn up to $1,500 a week. You like money?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. And you can earn it driving your car, man. That's it. It's a smart way to earn extra money. And because you're a listener of Allegedly, you can get a $500 bonus.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. And there are other ride-sharing apps out there, but everyone likes driving for Lyft best because they treat their drivers right. Don't you like being treated well?
Again, depends on the situation.
Oh, gosh, dude. No, the answer is yes.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, lots of people started off as customers, and now they drive for Lyft. It's a flexible way to make extra money anytime from anywhere. All you need is guess what?
A car?
Yep.
Oh, ding, ding, ding.
Driving for Lyft pays up to $35 an hour, and getting started is fast and easy. You can drive mornings, nights, or weekends. Just flip into driver mode, start making money. Plus, only Lyft drivers can earn tips from within the app.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and those add up
to money.
Money!
Yay!
And they add up fast.
So what do we have to do if we want
to
All
you
up?
Have to do is sign up today at lyft.com/Theo, T-H-E-O. And right now, Lyft has a special offer. That's right.
Limited time offer.
Limited time offer. It's that $500 new driver bonus when you sign up using our show. Just go to lyft.com/T-H-E-O. Go there today so you can start making some extra money. Get your $500 new driver bonus. That's lyft.com/T-H-E-O. And now, back to the show.
All right, and here we are with actress, comedian, fashionista, and is this true, Face Off star?
Yeah, I'm in Face Off.
She's in the movie Face Off.
I'm in the movie. I play Wanda.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
This is Margaret Cho.
Hello. Yay.
Thank you, and I'm so glad you came because we got you, I guess, theoretically on a day after it's a big day for you because of the Fashion Police, and yesterday was
yes.
the Golden Globes.
Yeah, it was a good award show. You know, fashion wise, it's the first one of the year that sets the tone
mm-hmm.
for the award show season. So it's good. They did okay. Some of the stars were all right.
Can you just say who you thought was the worst?
The very worst was Carrie Underwood.
Oh,
with
yeah.
just a terrible gown that I don't even know why. The thing about it is that I really appreciate weird fashions and people who do ugly well, but she does not. She is a classic American beauty. She should always stick to that.
Mm.
And for some reason, she just... I don't know. I don't know what happened. But
like, who was telling her what to wear?
The gown is terrible. It didn't fit well. It was the wrong color for her. It was just ugly. And there's just no excuse to make a beautiful woman like that.
That's true.
Look bad.
Did you like Kristen Wiggs?
I hated Kristen Wiggs.
Thank you.
I also hated her hair.
Thank you.
I don't know why these pretty girls have to ugly it up. Like, what's the point?
Thank you.
That.
I love to hear that because it's immediately what I thought. But the people I was watching it with were like, "Oh no, she's a pixie. She looks beautiful."
No, it's a bowl haircut. It's a mo. It's a glorified mo.
I had one of those in high school.
It's awful, and she again is also a beautiful, beautiful girl. I just, you know, I appreciate when ugly is done correctly. They're just too pretty to do the ugly justice.
Who does ugly best?
I think I do ugly pretty good. I think Sophie Turner, Game of Thrones, does ugly pretty good.
Yes.
It's one of those things. It's real. You know who does it the best is probably Bjork. That's a classic example of not ugly, but just fashion forward and just weird. And of course, Lady Gaga is the best at doing the weird, arty. She really pulls it off every time.
So you recorded it this morning. So you what happens? You go in and then you watch. They show you pictures?
Well, we stay up all night pretty much writing jokes. And then in the morning we go in and, you know, we kind of like weed out all the things that don't work and then, you know, go out with the best jokes possible.
Right.
You know, ultimately it's really about Joan Rivers, who always wanted to make it about comedy. You know, that show was always about telling jokes, about really inviting people into the theater of the red carpet, which is a show unto itself. I think that's one of the fun things about it. So we try to give, you know, give Joan space to,
right.
We sort of like try to let Joan speak through us. Hopefully we do that.
I saw Margaret host the Trevor Live event not too long ago, which you did a great job. And
Thank you.
Had a very funny, controversial-ish Joan Rivers joke.
Oh, well,
too soon joke?
No, it's not too soon. The joke is because she and I were friends for so long, and she would always fight with me because I was fat, and so she's, "It's so fucking fat. Why are you so fucking fat? If you gain any more fucking weight, I'm gonna fucking die." So, my bad. That's the joke.
That's a great joke.
It's really a perfect joke, I think.
It's a perfect joke.
You would love it.
She would love it.
So going back to the Fashion Police stuff, have you had any run-ins with people that you've not been as positive to?
I am absolutely positive.
But theoretically, had Tilda Swinton been on there, would you have had a biased opinion of her outfit?
No, because I think she's always, I mean, she doesn't really do the red carpet very often. I mean, maybe for Cannes or the Venice Film Festival, you know, things that, like, she doesn't really come to American awards ceremonies that often.
Right.
You know, maybe the BAFTAs or something, but she's not really in that sort of world. She's very quirky, and I think her fashion choices always are very, very extreme because she's kind of an extreme personality. Yeah. So I wouldn't have a bias against her. I actually don't have any sort of issues with her. I just think that her casting in Doctor Strange was not the best.
Were you surprised at the reaction it got and her coming back with the emails and things like that?
Yeah, that was great because she sent all of our emails to Vanity Fair, which is like, that's what happens when white people get mad. They go, I'll get her by sending it to Vanity Fair. And that's like the best.
That proves the point, too.
I'll send it to Vanity Fair. I'll show her.
She kind of dresses like a fancy Macklemore to me sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
That's how I feel.
Definitely. It's a very fancy Macklemore, but she's not going to the thrift shop.
Right.
No, she's not.
She's not.
So let me ask, what's your opinion on the Globes winners? And speaking of diversity, there was a lot of diversity wins.
Yeah, it was better.
Yeah.
You know,
but it's not.
It's certainly better. Well, there was no Asian people, so I'm not sure why that is or when that's going to change. You know, there is better diversity for sure.
Yeah.
I think because of last year and Oscar's so white and that kind of thinking towards, let's look at diversity, let's try to make this Oscars or Golden Globes or whatever more diverse, but there's still not any Asian people.
That's true.
And do you think that like some ethnicities and some cultures will raise more like of a stink or will raise more of a fuss if things don't seem more diverse, right? Do you feel like Asian? For me, I'm not like I'm not the most educational about a lot of things, right? I'll admit that, dude. I mean, a lot of times I wander into a sentence. I don't even know what I'm doing in there. So, like, do you feel like it's because a lot Asian cultures are more passive or peaceful that they don't really bring that issue up as much?
I think it's changing. I think Asian Americans, at least my generation of Asian Americans, are very political and very vocal. And I think that my generation also, and a little people like younger than me too, there's a lot more comedians, Asian comedians I've seen, certainly Asian actors, more of a sort of a need to break out of what our families sort of told us what we should be, and then this desire to get into the arts. And so I think what happened is that for Asian Americans, we're really a lot of times controlled by our families and our family's expectation. And so I know that there, for me, there are a lot of Korean kids that I grew up with that didn't go into to professions that they wanted to go into because they needed to satisfy what their parents wanted for them, and then ended up getting into careers that they really wanted, like comedy or whatever, in their mid-30s, which is really too late, I think, to start. Some people, I think it's too late to start, but there's this feeling like you've got to deal with your parents' expectations. But that's why there were not as many Asian Americans in the arts. But I think we've always been more political than our families and than our parents, for sure. Mm.
A recent one that struck me is this movie, The Great Wall. I think it's called The Great Wall with Matt Damon.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anything about it or the concept, but immediately I was just like, Matt Damon's in a movie about the Great Wall.
Yeah, like, what did he build, the Great Wall?
Yeah, I don't fucking understand it.
With
but
Ben Affleck, they built it. It's bullshit. It's bullshit. It's weird.
It is bullshit. I mean, like,
it is weird.
But I don't know who to blame. It is weird. Like, you blame Hollywood. You don't. I mean, I guess you blame Matt Damon, and
I don't even. It's not anything that makes any sense. Like, you know, movies that are based on anime, like Ghost in the Shell, starring Scarlett Johansson. Her last name is supposed to be Otome.
Right.
Like, it's not. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
But I just can't understand why Hollywood doesn't really embrace these ideas of that, you know, these Asian actors playing Asian roles. It's just a backwards thing.
And you're like such a kind of, do you feel like kind of a pioneer of some of the movement a little bit? Not in a, you know, not to judge or label you as that, but I can't think of that many people that are as vocal as you that, you know, have the insight really as you
do. Oh yeah. Well, I am a pioneer in terms of Asian American comedians. I mean, that is real.
Yeah.
And that's something I'm very proud of.
Now, have you had interaction with Tilda Swinton, last question on it, since the whole thing went down?
No.
Okay.
Because she sent our correspondence to Vanity Fair. That's my favorite. I'll show her.
What would you have sent your the correspondence to?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I don't even know why she did that, because it doesn't make her seem like she's really getting her point across, you know?
No, it just shows how in a different world she is.
Yeah, it's just different. You know, I think that, I think she's a great actress. I think that this particular role should have been played by an Asian American or an Asian, you know, it doesn't matter, but it should have been an Asian role should be played by an Asian actor.
So now, in doing research for having you come in, I discovered three amazing projects that you were part of that I didn't realize. One I've already mentioned. Another was Golden Palace, which was spinoff of Golden Girls.
Excellent.
Really?
Theo's a Golden Girls fan, actually.
Yeah, grew up watching them all.
I mean, that immediately made me love you, period.
Oh, thank you.
Not
I
that
love
I didn't
you.
Enough. Number two, Red Shoe Diaries.
Yes, I'm in a Red Shoe Diaries.
Are you familiar with Red Shoe Diaries?
With the guy from There Will Be Blood?
Yeah.
Well...
Actually, it was David Duchovny. It was kind of like he would host sort of the wraparounds, but it was he had found these erotic diaries, or he was telling erotic stories. I'm not exactly sure, but it was like a Showtime series that was semi not pornographic, but it was semi like
erotic,
but not porn. Mm-hmm.
But there was nudity.
There was nudity, and mm-hmm. it was all about sex. But I don't even remember what happened in the episode that I'm in. I'm not in it in a sexual capacity at all. I'm just in it, and I have no idea what happened.
All right, and then the final one is Face Off, which just to be part of something like that legendary is pretty cool. But I personally have a huge fascination with John Travolta.
Yeah.
I just find him.
He's an interesting guy.
Fascinating, the Scientology, the rumors, everything about him.
I used to sit in his trailer and eat, and one time.
Why are you eating, Margaret?
No, he was.
Sorry, that was my bad.
Was that Joan?
Yeah.
That was
my bad,
Joan. No, he ate an entire boysenberry pie. Like, he didn't cut it into pieces. He took a fork and he ate the whole pie. And it was pretty amazing. Like, we were just like gossiping and talking, whatever. But he had eaten like beef Wellington, almost all of it.
Of course.
And then something in the middle, and then a whole boysenberry pie.
See, that fascinates me.
Yeah, he ate the whole pie, like the whole one.
Wow.
With what? Like, was he just.
With a fork.
With a fork.
He ate it with a fork. He just pulled the pie to him. And then he ate the entire pie, and I was like, that's a lot of pie for one person. And he just kept eating the pie. He ate the whole thing, which is like I've never seen a person eat a whole pie. Maybe like two pieces.
Yeah.
But like he ate like a proper 9-inch boysenberry pie.
He can take a 9-inch, huh?
Oh.
There was no cream on top or anything.
If you had to pick one word to define him, in your experiences with him, what would it be?
Flamboyant. He's really flamboyant. He's really, he's like a king, you know, because he's been treated like one his entire life. Hmm. And like, he's like Lord Byron or something. Like, he's just very flamboyant, very, I'm aware that I'm very rich and I'm so famous. Like
Vanity Fair.
Yeah, Vanity Fair. But not in a snobby way. It's just this incredible awareness of his celebrity. And it's actually quite darling.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's really cute. I think it's hard. I mean, all of the stuff about his sexuality and then the lawsuits with the different male masseuses that, you know, because they... I guess the story is like the police or whoever, like they believe that the masseuses, because so many suits have been filed, but they believe these two in particular because they both described his asshole so perfectly to the police. And they were like, there could be no mistake. Like there were
That's
like details.
That's the sixth fingerprint right there. That's the sixth fingerprint.
There were these details that nobody could deny. I don't know. But he certainly, who knows? Who knows?
But as someone who is a huge LGBT advocate.
Yeah.
Does it anger you? If I'm not saying we're saying he's gay or straight or whatever, but if it's someone or a celebrity, what's your feeling on that?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's people sometimes are super old school and they don't want to talk about their sexuality. Like a good example, I guess people sort of talk about Kevin Spacey being gay, but all I know is that he came to my 25th birthday party
last week.
Twenty-fifth birthday party with Jason Gould, and they were 45 minutes early. Now, if that ain't gay, I'm not sure. Jason Gould is Barbara Streisand's son.
Wow.
And they were 45 minutes early. So
that's pretty gay to me.
I don't know if that's gay, but you know.
Well, do you feel like a celebrity? I mean, he could change a lot of minds. If someone came
for
out.
Sure.
So does that anger you at all?
It doesn't anger me to
not on
it,
a per,
that,
yeah.
No, but I mean, it's more just like, why would you, I don't know, why would you feel like that sense of judgment? I mean, if you were so beloved by the world, I don't think that that would change if you came out. But what if, for whatever reason, maybe he's just not even gay. Like, I don't, I don't know. Well, you know, I doubt it. I don't think I saw him eat a whole pie, so I feel like I know a little bit more than most people. But
could you point out his asshole in a lineup?
I don't. I couldn't.
Okay.
I couldn't. So I couldn't tell you.
He'll commit a crime whether they're going to have him dip in an ink and put it on a piece of paper. And then we'll come
out. Oh my yeah. God.
Okay.
The, like a potato print card.
Yeah.
Just sealing my mail.
like a wax with a ring. That's a real king.
That's a great thing. That'd be a great thing to seal your mail with.
Yeah. Money.
But I don't, I mean, if like I've thought before, if I were gay, I don't know if I'd be able to say that I was, you know? I've thought that before, you know? I just don't know. And that makes me understand kind of the plight that a lot of like probably gay men and, you know, I can't understand the plight of a gay woman because it's hard enough for me to imagine being a gay man, but... that would be that makes me really feel like that moment where you're like, gosh, how would I voice this?
Mm-hmm.
Like, would I be afraid of what my life would look like? Like, would I be afraid of?
Dude, I didn't come out until I was 27 for that exact reason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was petrified.
Yeah.
Even though in retrospect, I had no reason to be.
Right. Yeah. And plus, if you're here in LA, it's different, you know, because it's just. It's better to be gay, I think, in L.A., but just in other places, if you're from, because I know you're from a small town, so it's just a different experience there.
Yeah.
But here, I just think it's great to be gay.
It's big ticket here. I'm doing butt Kegels. I'm saving that for a movie.
Yeah, save it up.
Save it for a movie.
Do you, now, I believe you're out bisexual, correct? Are people surprised at that?
No, I don't think so.
No.
I mean, I don't know. People ask me a lot of questions about it. I think it's sort of like, I don't know. I don't sort of think about my sexuality as being different, but it's also like I'm not exactly accepted by the gay community
right.
and not accepted exactly by the straight community. I think it's more accepted by the straight community in a lot of ways than the gay community in that like there's a lot more acceptance for women to be bisexual than men to be bisexual in that I have not met a lot of male bisexuals, but I know they're out there.
Right.
So I think it's hard to be accepted or find acceptance within the straight community as a male bisexual and also in the gay community as a male bisexual. Mm-hmm. There's a sort of an ease that women have around that. But I do know that we sort of are in the kind of in this weird like thing where we're on the fence, sort or thought of as on the fence.
The thylight zone. I call it the thylight zone.
The thylight zone, yes.
Someone who is, you are such an ally and obviously part of it yourself. You still feel like a little ostracization. Yes.
And then, you know, I also appreciate that it's much easier for women than it is for men.
Gotcha.
Now, do you think of yourself, and I'm not trying to judge or anything, I'm just, do you think of yourself, when you started, did you think of yourself as a comedian and an activist, and which one do you think of yourself as now more than the other? Or, I'm not trying to label you either.
I just think of myself as a comedian, and then everything else is part of that. I mean, I do political comedy and some activism, which would come under activism. But I also think that you don't want to get away from being a comedian. Even acting, I'm an actor, but I have to be a comedian first before anything. So,
well, you're also a Grammy nominated comic.
Yeah.
It's coming up.
Pretty good.
It's February
12th. I'm also hosting the pre-telecast, so it's
a lot of
awards.
Do you I'd love to get a little bit of your take of the state of comedy today. Do you feel like it's kind of the same as when you started, that it's always the same, that it's always flowing? I sometimes feel like now there's such a breadth of work out there that there's a lot of like joke mathematicians almost who don't have a lot of personality but are able to like map out, okay, A plus B equals C, right? And they can figure that out. And that... Do you have any thoughts on that sort of thing?
Well, there's always going to be a lot of that in comedy, especially in like L.A. or New York, where the thing about that, those people kind of burn out after a couple of years.
Right.
And then the real comics, the real true comics, there's actually a few, not as many as that are practicing or doing comedy right now, but the people who are really devoted to it will end up staying in it. You know, like there's a lot of people now that sort of try to copy each other or copy other sort of famous comedians. And, you know, you see a lot of that. But there's very few true comics, true originals, which I think Brent that we saw the other night.
Oh, yeah.
He's an incredible Brent Weinbach.
Yeah, really funny.
He's an incredible.
With this? That was so
it's funny. So weird.
Yeah, it's so weird.
It's so weird. But then you go, oh, that's a real comic.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I would consider myself and you, of course. Then you go, we're like for real.
Right.
But then there's people that are just going to kind of fade away over time because they don't really.
Or go into writing. A lot of those people go into writing.
Yeah, they usually go into writing or acting or whatever or hosting different things. But then the true comics always sort of stick around. And then you always know when you see a real true comic, you go, oh.
Yeah.
What did you do on New Orleans? I mean, not New Orleans. What did you do on New Year's? With Bill Maher?
I was with Bill Maher in Hawaii. I was opening for him. I was with Dana Gould.
Oh.
And we spent New Year's Eve with the Vedders, Eddie Vedder and his wife.
Wow.
We rang it in at his fabulous Hawaii home.
What?
Does Eddie, like, play at midnight or, like,
yeah, what? He played a song at Bill's show, and we all I forced Bill to let me sing on it because they were practicing and I just stormed into Bill's dressing room and I'm like, I'm singing this song with you because I'm really bossy, and so I forced them to let me sing the song, so they let me do it.
Is that surreal? Like when you're in that. Like at the Vedder's home is it a surreal moment for you?
It's surreal in a way, but it's also not because I've also known a lot of musicians around Eddie Vedder. You know, like
right.
I know the Foo Fighters pretty well, and like all these different sorts of musicians and people I've worked with too. So it's not as surreal as it would seem,
right.
But it is. It's cool.
Now you're sober, correct?
Yeah.
Is it like being around parties like that? Is that hard?
No.
No.
No. I mean, that kind of stuff is not. I'm not like a. I don't like to. I was never a drinking person at parties or. Right. I don't do drugs or drink at parties. I'd like to do it. Alone in
right.
my house.
Yeah.
Nobody's around.
Like a vampire, like a true vampire.
Yeah, yeah, like I'm not like a party girl. I'm like, the party's in my head, in my bed. Like
it's not the social part.
Yeah,
I'm not
a social drinker or a social partier in any any way at all. So parties actually don't make me feel like I want to get wasted because I never did.
Right.
Anyway, I never got wasted at anybody's party. I never did anything like that at a party. I would do it, you know, in my house.
Yeah.
So I know you said before, are you still in sober living? Or are you doing
that too? No, I mean, I'm kind of like, I just don't drink or use drugs. Right.
But you were in a sober living facility.
I was in rehab.
Rehab, mm-hmm. right. And that's more, I would assume the sober living aspect is more of what you talked about, which is you by yourself needing that.
Yeah, I mean, it's more just like you get used to it, and then, I mean, I'm not in residential treatment.
Right.
I don't need it. I like it, though.
I mean,
I like the lifestyle of it, because when you're just like, you know, it's just me with everybody's 19, everybody's like a billionaire, and I'm like... You know, being shuttled around in a van, like, you
yeah,
know,
that's cool.
I don't have my phone. I can't do anything. I love that. It's fabulous.
There's a lot of sex going on?
No.
No.
Really?
No. Okay, really.
No, no.
Really?
In rehab? No, you get kicked out.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Would you take a young lover? Would you take like a young lover into your band, like a 19-year-old?
No, that's fucked up. That's weird. I think that's weird. I'm not attracted to anybody under 50.
Really?
Yeah. It's to me, it's creepy. Like, I can't, I don't know. They got,
really?
51 is like the youngest I'll go.
So hold on.
49 maybe.
So let's say Ryan Gosling and Eva Mendes, both under 50.
Yeah, they're both physically beautiful, but I don't find them attractive in that way.
Really?
I mean, they're not, I just think that, I think they're gorgeous, but it, I don't think that there's anything as sexually appealing about them to me.
To you, yeah. No,
yeah, I would be grossed out.
Yeah.
Really?
I'd be really grossed out to have sex with
So wait, so then what's the oldest?
The oldest?
Yeah, that you were willing to go. Would you date someone in their 80s?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I could do that. I could do that. I could see that. I mean, I think like after a while, it might be hard because, you know, if they're that significantly older than me, you know, there's inevitable they would die.
Right.
Yeah.
So that would suck.
That would be, yeah, that would suck.
Let's play Margaret Cho. Margaret Cho Sex is the Dead. Okay.
Okay.
Two people from the beyond who have already gone.
Mm-hmm.
I need a man and a woman that you would take into your bed.
Prince. Oh, he was over 50. David Bowie, for sure. And a woman dead, well, Marilyn Monroe, but she was young when she died, so that wouldn't make sense. And also, I don't find her sexy either. I think she's just beautiful, but, like, I like women that are more butch than that. Like, I like much more masculine
really?
Looking women. Huh. Yeah, to me, that's really beautiful.
Like, which one of the Golden Girls, then?
Rue. And B was hot.
Yeah.
B. Arthur is hot.
No.
Yes.
What? I could
see
it.
As Maude, oh my God, with the caftans.
She's long, I mean, that neck, is the definition strong. Of masculine.
She was butch. She was hot.
She had a long neck, too. I like that on a woman.
Yeah, like a real long neck. Like, I met her, I think she was really, like, this was right before she died, and I met her, and she was real tall.
Yeah. See that? Yeah. Look over there just, for me. Ooh.
Ooh, yeah, with that sexy. Long neck. She was sexy.
Look at that. What is that? Oh, look at that.
Okay, all right. Fair enough.
Super hot.
To each their own.
So what's driving you at this point in your career?
I just want to be a good comedian. Like, I want to be better. I think I'm okay. And I have done a significant amount of good work. But there's always this notion where you can do better. And then I like doing comedy shows. Like the comedy stores, like, it's actually really hard. That club. I love it, and I love that you can do three shows in a night there, but I also appreciate that the audience is really tough.
Yeah.
Like, for some reason, I think the original room most of all, like, there's something about it. I think it has to do with the fact that it's insulated so that all of the other, so the sound doesn't bleed into the other rooms, so that there's, like, it absorbs laughter in a way that you have to work, like, a million times harder. But if you can do good there, you can do good anywhere. Like, yeah. I love that club for that.
It's great.
Have you gotten a thicker skin over being in this business for a while?
Yes and no. Yes and no. Like, I definitely am pretty tough when it comes to rejection. But, like, if I have a bad set, I freak out.
Really?
Yeah, because I get so mad. Like, because I really pride myself in being a good comedian and being adaptable to anything. But if it goes bad, I get so angry. And then I have this thing, like, if you don't like me, I'm going to make you hate me. Mm. And then I won't get off the stage. All this stuff, like, right. All this bad stuff about my personality comes out if I'm doing poorly,
right.
Which isn't often,
right.
But when it happens, I cannot tolerate it.
And so when you did that, the one set, and there was the video of it, how did that make you, watching it, what did that make you think?
Well, that wasn't fair because it was like, I really was not in any shape to deal with the crowd. I was too wasted. Also, I didn't understand what was happening. Like, there were so many things going on around me. Like, I just didn't understand, like, what I was hearing. I didn't get it. Like, I got two tables that were, like, jumping up on stage. Like, these people, like, starting fights with each other. Mm. You know, sometimes, like, it just gets so crazy.
Right.
And then I'm like, why did this happen? And then that's why I wanted to go back there, because I wanted to talk to the audience and try to figure out what went wrong. And and also, like, comedians get this thing like, if there's a bad show, they'll never go back and they'll be so pissed. And I'm like, well, I need to go back because I fucked them over. Like, I wasn't as good as I could have been. And so I need to be there to see what happened. And it was great because Jerry Seinfeld came with me and we talked to the audience before and then we did a show for them. The reason I also wanted to go back because is that club is owned by a comic and I have ultimate respect for comics who actually own comedy clubs. Like, that's a really, that's a great thing. And that's very rare.
Right.
And because of my actions, I had damaged the relationship between the club and its community. And so I didn't feel cool with that being out there. You know, I didn't want to hurt the club like that. So I owed it to the owner to make it up to the community so that that business would be up and running. It's a weird, it was always weird to me because, like, I just needed to deal with it, like, in a way. I was dealing with all this other stuff. Like, Greg Giraldo had died in that room that I was staying in. So I was like, not in the room that I was staying in, but that was the hotel that he OD'd in. And so that was part of, like, I was, like, all freaked out about that. I was super jet-lagged. I was super, like, fucked up about Gary Shandling. There were so many things happening in my mind. And it all had to sort of do with comedy.
Right.
You know, so you want to, like, make it right.
Yeah, completely.
How do you feel about the industry? Do you hold any grudges against the Hollywood industry?
No.
Yeah?
No, I'm really grateful. Like, I really love the way that my career has gone. I feel very good about everything. You know, the thing is that I would love to see more Asian actors play Asian roles. I don't think that's a big deal. I don't think that's a big thing to ask. I think it's a big deal, but I don't think it's a big thing to ask.
Right.
So it's not exactly a grudge, but I do think that that has to change. I think I've had a great career. I hope to continue to. You know, I really enjoy my work. I love being, I mean, you and I both, we're out there every day.
Yeah, I see you almost every day.
Yeah, and it's good.
Yeah, it's cool.
We love it, and that's why we keep going back every day. You know, if it wasn't good, we wouldn't go back every day. So that's the thing that is most important, is that the comedy aspect of it, like, I will never get tired of doing sets. Like, I will never get tired of going on the road. I love it.
Yeah. The first time I ever met you, you took me to the Claremont Lounge in Atlanta, which is an erotic kind of environment.
What?
Yeah. It's a very, it's a strip club, but they have the oldest strippers in the world. Like,
awesome. Like
older than.
Like B. Arthur style.
Yeah.
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 Oh, and you younger, must love it.
And you, but yeah, I do. But younger women too.
Right.
And, it's like the freakiest thing. And then you always have to bring tourists to go. But it's pretty intense. Like, it's a pretty crazy strip club. But we went there, and then Blondie crushes beer cans between her boobs. So
yeah, I got one.
He got one.
Yeah.
She signed it.
She did sign it. I still have it at home. That was one of my best road stories, so thank you for that.
Yeah, that was a good
thank you
one.
For me. It was cool. It was really cool for me.
It was really fun. I've done coke in there. I don't even do cocaine.
But when you walk in there, suddenly you do everything.
You do everything.
Yeah, like, you're like in another era.
It's so weird.
It really is a time warp.
It's so weird. I did cocaine, like, somebody, this guy came and the atmosphere was just so crazy, and he's like, you want to do a bump? And I'm like, all right. Like, I don't even do it. I can't really do it. I have a deviated septum. So I did drugs, but I never did that. So he took me into the men's bathroom, and then he put the key under my nose, but it was also above the men's urinal. So when I sniffed in, I also, like, smelled all the urea. It was like this kidney smell coming in my nose, and I blew out again, and all the coke went into the into the urinal, and then my little friend, the guy, dove into the urinal to sniff all the coke, which is like, that's how powerful of a drug cocaine is.
Yeah.
Like, people will go nose first into a urinal to try to sniff up the extra whatever It like come in my nose and fallen out of my nose. So it wasn't even like it was
that
like
was chocaine. That was chocaine at that point. I'm just working puns tonight.
Picture a world where putting on a new pair of underwear isn't just fresh. You're stepping into a better day.
Are you okay?
I don't know.
Think about it, Matt. Underwear. It's the first thing you put on and the last thing you take off. Why would you settle for budget underwear?
I wouldn't.
You wouldn't. Why would you settle for anything less than the best feeling underwear on the planet?
Who makes them?
You know who. Me. Undies.
I love me undies. I'm a big supporter. And they're a big supporter of mine.
Of yours.
There you go.
MeUndies focuses solely on producing the most comfortable underwear you've ever experienced.
They use this material called Modal.
Yeah.
And it's like, it feels like you're wearing nothing at all. I mean, it's so smooth and like nice.
Oh, yeah. It's like wearing a chocolate milkshake over your junk.
Sure.
Yeah. And for the price of two cocktails, because I know you drink a lot, right? You've bought a couple cocks. MeUndies will deliver your new favorite pair of underwear right to your doorstep.
Oh, wow.
Yep. You can try them on, and if they aren't the most comfortable, best-feeling undies you've ever had, they'll refund you and let you keep your first pair for free.
That doesn't make sense. That's out of this world.
Yeah, so basically, you can get free underwear, man. Included in the price is the sweet touch, as you said, of Modal.
Mm.
And it's three times softer than cotton. These uber-cozy undies are sold exclusively at the MeUndies website, where you'll enjoy free shipping in the U.S. and Canada.
Mm. So what do we do? Go to MeUndies.com?
Yep. And MeUndies.com/Theo, oh. T-H-E-O. And with the MeUndies Better Day Guarantee, you'll have nothing to lose. So don't wait any longer. Go to MeUndies.com/Theo, T-H-E-O, right now for 20% off your first order.
Wow.
Guess what? I got my whole family, not joking, MeUndies for Christmas.
Oh, really?
Everybody.
So now your whole family's wearing the same underwear?
Same junk covers, dude. And we've never felt closer together.
There you go.
That's MeUndies.com/T-H-E-O.
Back to the show. So what's going on with you now? Is there, what can we, we've got the Grammys coming
the
up.
Grammys,
we've got Fashion Police.
Fashion Police. We are just gearing up for award season. Mm. We are there for all of award season. We'll be doing a bit of, I guess, undercover work during the Grammys, but I'll be hosting. That'll be great. I'm going to be going on the road a little bit, and I'm writing a new show, so that's what I'm working on out at the clubs now, which will be ready. I'm going to do a show in the fall. The title will be The Glamorous Life, and it'll be like, hopefully I'll only play like concert halls, like in symphony orchestra halls, but it'll be with like a ball gown and everything, but the whole show's basically about shitting my pants in rehab. So that's a preview.
Very Vanity Fair meets
Vanity Fair. I'll show her.
Somebody mentioned orgies earlier. I'm gonna ask you, what role in an orgy, where would you fall? Like, would you be in the middle of the pile? Would you be kind of on the edge, like eating fruit?
I'd probably be on the edge, like holding somebody's foot really awkwardly. I don't know, like, I've actually been in orgies and it's super weird. It's like not sexy at all. It's super creepy. Like, yeah, but I guess it's sort of like everybody's trying to act like they're having a good time, but nobody is because it's not like natural. Like it's not intimate and it's just not even, I don't know. Like I don't find that it's appealing. It's not sexy, although on paper it should be.
Right.
But it really isn't. Like, because it's just such, people are just trying to pretend like this is okay. But it's just weird. It's weird to be, like, involved with sex with a bunch of people you don't know. Or maybe you do know some of the people, and then that's even weirder. And you're kind of watching them do stuff, and you're like, this is fucked up. Like, I always end up at the buffet table, like, eating. Like, I'm always, like, stress eating. Like, I remember there was this one orgy that used to happen in North Hollywood And they had the best chili. I don't really know why.
What?
It was really good. It was like turkey chili.
Who serves chili at an orgy?
I don't know these people. But they had
nice person.
Yeah, they had baked Lay's, chili, and really good chocolate chip cookies. So I would just go back for the cookies and the chili. But then it was just like eating chili with like I would eat it like out of a solo cup. And they didn't have anything to serve it properly, and I would just be kind of watching. Sometimes I would drink the chili out of the solo cup because they didn't have like a spoon.
This is true.
Is that Margaret Cho sipping chili?
I would sip it like it was coffee.
Wow. And that leads me to my final question on the same topic was about babies and motherhood. Mm-hmm. Is that anything that has...
Yeah.
I was going to ask that too.
Crouched into your life recently.
Dana Gould has a little daughter who's so cute, who looks exactly like me. And he got three little girls from China. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I want one. Yeah. But that you can't just get one because you're like, oh, that looks like me. I want one.
No.
I want a kid. But I love kids. But I also think, I don't think I could have them physically anymore. I'm not sure. I'm too old for that. But there's a lot of kids who need moms.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
Is that something you would seriously consider?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not partnered. I think it would be easier if you have a partner, well, ultimately, of course. But I don't know I don't know. I don't know. But I love children.
Would you raise a child or do you have any preference to raise a child with a man or raise a child with a woman?
I don't know. I mean, I don't have a preference.
Yeah.
I don't think it would matter, you know, but I don't know. But I love kids.
Mom. I think you'd be a really good mom.
I'd be all right.
Mom. Yeah.
Do you consider yourself like a legend in comedy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's just undisputed. That's absolutely true. But then, you know, it's also because... I influenced a lot of Asian American comedians to do comedy, and I feel like that's a really good contribution.
Yeah.
To
well, I don't dispute it.
The world of comedy, and so I'm very proud of that. So yeah, undisputed legend, of course.
I love that.
Applause.
Legend to me.
And I know that you're part of the fascist Trump campaign.
I can't believe he's president still.
I know.
I don't really understand. I really don't. I don't know how he's going to do this. Like,
do you think Hollywood played some role? Like, just in like shoving kind of bad television down people's throats, like, you know, like reality TV shows that were just at a certain point where it's like, because he wouldn't have had that stronghold like that, probably.
That's a good point.
You know?
Yeah, that's a good point. I think that, I think it's just. The craziest thing, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Britain is where you have really crazy reality TV shows, and they haven't elected anybody like that.
No.
You know, I mean, it's particular to America, but it's also actually, it's very close to what happened in Italy with Berlusconi.
Mm.
Berlusconi is similar in that he was, holding sex parties in the mansion, and like he had to be impeached for embezzling funds, and then he was reelected. Mm. I mean, it's like
Party. So
crazy, like, because he's a good old boy and he's a real sort of bro. That's what Italy, for whatever reason,
they bro out.
To. They bro out in the same way that America does.
Yeah.
So. They rallied behind Berlusconi in the same way that Americans have rallied behind Trump, which is really, it's terrible. But then I look to Italy and I think, well, it didn't collapse. Hmm. It's still around.
Yeah.
It's still on the map.
Yeah. I mean,
that boot didn't kick it.
Yeah.
So it's still there. So maybe we'll be okay. I hope. I don't know. I don't know. I'm scared.
I'm scared too.
I bet we will.
If it goes down, I would like to be executed by firing squad.
Because
that's the coolest way to go.
Yeah.
You got like a blindfold and a cigarette.
It's so weird.
Yeah, that's awesome.
We're saying it as if it was like, oh, that would never happen. But there's even a little part of me that is like, if that
If
it comes to that, no, I'm realistic about it. If it comes to that, I've said this before. I want to go by firing squad. I don't want a lethal injection. I don't want the electric chair. That's creepy.
Yeah.
Stupid. Weird. Weak.
Yeah.
You got to go by firing squad. That's the most badass way.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That or maybe, you know, a suicide bomber. Like if you could get like all the explosives strapped to your chest and then you run into like a building.
Something.
A grand exit.
That's all right too.
Or even run into like a quarry where they need the work done.
Yeah. That would be the best. Like if it's like you, if you combine the practical aspects, so, you know, if they need to destroy, yeah, like, you know, yeah, something. So you were of service. Yeah.
Very
in
good.
A way.
Very
but,
good.
Yeah. So I have a couple of, you know, ideas about my own execution. But ultimately, number one, with a bullet, firing squad.
All right. Maybe you this isn't it. The thing we talk yeah. about with the little baby yeah. right away, but
no.
we'll get it to it eventually.
We'll get eventually.
So listen, thank you so much for coming on. I know the points kind of went to the wayside, but you still kind of have to pick a winner of the podcast.
Unfortunately, Matt,
yeah,
I have to pick Theo because just he had the hometown advantage.
Yeah, I know
that. Because he's just here. Sorry, but you know what? You got first runner-up.
Oh, thank you.
Ooh.
Oh, story of my life.
Awesome.
Yeah. Margaret Cho, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
We really feel fortunate.
You really are a legend.
Ah, thank you.
Amen.
I genuinely agree with you.
Oh. Bro, you she's into women. She's the only type of guy she's not into is you, I think, man. She's into women or men.
What am I?
But you're a man, but you're only into men.
Oh.
Yeah, I've never slept with a gay guy.
No?
I think, I've been around a lot of gay guys.
Has the opportunity ever, like...
It's presented itself, of course, and then I'm just like, dude, I'm like, girl, please. Like, you don't want this. And, you know, they're like, all right. But, you know... definitely had some offers.
Wow.
You know,
wow.
And they're like, nah. They all get really
was
freaked out.
Was this after the boysenberry pie?
Yes.
All right.
Yes. Yes.
Pull back around. All right. Thank you so much for coming in, Margaret.
Thank you.
A whole pie?
A whole pie.